Grace to you. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. As we journey through the book of Romans together, we arrive at the fifth chapter. And yesterday we did some introductory work, try to show you Paul's thought processes as he leads into this fifth chapter. And again, I'll reiterate, I do realize that Paul did not break it into chapters and verses. We did that. The translators, rather, did that many, many years ago. I'll not argue too much on whether they were good or bad at that. Sometimes I think they get it really good, and sometimes it's a little off, but that's neither here nor there. What is important is that there is a transition at the top of chapter 5, not to a different direction, but the transition is building off of previous information to take you deeper, because in the fourth chapter, you have Abraham being justified by faith apart from works. This is, Paul does a lot of logizomai, as we talked about a few days ago, a lot of accounting. That's a Greek word for to account, to impute. And it is not an opinionated, it is not subjective, it is entirely objective. So it is God counting you righteous. He does that a lot in the fourth chapter. And then when he gets to the fifth chapter, he's ready to really show the triumph of faith, to really establish man is justified. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't differentiate between justification and righteousness because a righteous man is a justified man. Remember what Paul said back in chapter 3, verse 26, that God demonstrates his righteousness in that he is both just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So God is justifier. If God is justifier, who is justified? That would be you. But specifically, the one who has faith in Jesus is the justified one, as God is justifier of that one who has faith. So again, we're using Romans 3:26 to set a tone here, which is what Paul has done. God is demonstrating his righteousness, his goodness, his version of right standing by justifying people who have faith in Christ. So a justified man is justified because God showed his righteousness off in justifying that man through faith. Then when you get to chapter 5, verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith. When were we justified by faith? Way back in Romans 3:26. See, this has been a building argument. Way back in Romans 3:26, man was justified by faith. Having been justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll get into peace with God and through Christ and what all of that indicates over the next few days. But for today, I want to show you that Paul was using an Old Testament idea. When we think of righteousness by faith, we don't think Old Testament, because we know righteousness was by works. That's the third chapter of Romans. And then Jesus comes and reminds us of the Abrahamic covenant and fulfills the Abrahamic covenant. The arrival of Jesus was the absolute fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. The death of Jesus was the beginning of the end of the Mosaic covenant. And it was the first steps of the new covenant. So there's some lap over between those during the life of Christ. Please remember that when you read the Gospels. Remember that when you look at the cross. Remember that when you look at Pentecost. Why Pentecost? Because Paul is no doubt keeping in mind Isaiah 32. And I want to read for you from Isaiah 32, verse 15 through the end of the chapter. Listen carefully. If you're following along in this Bible study, this would be worth opening to. Isaiah 32, 15. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the forest field is counted, the fruitful field, rather, is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. I want to stop there. Because I want you to notice that the Spirit is poured down from on high in verse 15 of Isaiah 32. When this happens, verse 16 says, justice will dwell in the wilderness, righteousness will remain in the fruitful field, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I don't think you'd have to stretch very hard to realize that the outpouring of the Spirit in verse 15 happened in Acts 2. In fact, Peter believed that he was living in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because Jesus had specifically used the phrase outpouring of the Spirit until you receive the promise from on high, rather. So the Spirit is poured out in Acts 2. And according to Isaiah 32, then justice should dwell in the wilderness. Righteousness would remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness would be peace, and the end effect of righteousness would be quietness and assurance forever. So you have to ask yourself if you believe that these are spiritual promises. Why would we indicate at all that they're spiritual? Because in verse 15, the Spirit is poured out. It's a Holy Spirit work. You understand? When God does a work in the Old Covenant, it's literal. It's physical. When the Spirit does a work under the New Covenant, it's spiritual, not natural. You are a new creation. Though you don't necessarily have a new creation physically, you are a new creation spiritually. Why? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He works internally. Now, I want to go a little further with this tomorrow. You know what? Let's take it one more step today. I just looked at my clock, and I am going to give another minute or so. I'll say this, and we may get into this a little deeper tomorrow. Thomas Darby, who was the voice of dispensationalism in around 1830, 1835, is actually the father of modern-day dispensationalism. And dispensationalism, not just a system of God moving through different time periods, but God moving in two different ways. One way with Israel and one way with everyone else, or specifically one way with Israel and one way with the church. And the heartbeat of dispensationalism is the modern rapture teaching, in which the church is taken out so that God can deal with Israel. Because Darby saw a conflict, and the conflict that Darby saw was in Isaiah 32, 15. This is the passage. The passage I just read to you is the passage that convinced Thomas Darby of dispensationalism, because Darby was disillusioned with the church. And when he looked at the church, he didn't see verses 16, 17, and 18. He didn't see the work of righteousness being peace, the effect of righteousness being quietness and assurance forever, his people dwelling in a peaceful habitation, secure dwellings, quiet resting places. Because Darby was making what I think is a common mistake. He was naturalizing what should be spiritual promises. He, instead of seeing righteousness bringing fruit out of your life, peace into your life, and the effect being a quiet and an assurance eternally inside of you, he saw that that had to affect the whole planet. And since the church wasn't doing that, he assumed that promise was to Israel, because he wasn't seeing the natural results of a spiritual promise. And without the natural results, he then discounted an entire prophetic way of looking at the Bible and came up with a different one, in which God is going to deal with Israel, and he ignored the history of God dealing with Israel in AD 70 in order to establish a different eschatology. Now, that was a little part that I was going to work on a little bit more tomorrow, or at least work on tomorrow, but having done a couple minutes on it there, we'll let it lie, let it rest. And those are the things I like for you, the audience, to go pick up and study on your own and go find out some truths in that area. All right, we'll go back to Romans 5 and do a little more work from our opening verse tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.